Good morning and welcome to our worship today. Last week, our message focused on having a faith that trusts in God's power completely. This week, our lessons really speak about the depth of that faith. And so today the church prays, Lord, be gracious to us in our weakness and give us strength. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart. Let us confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, my words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. My dear friends, God our Heavenly Father has been merciful to us. He has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us collect our thoughts in prayer. O God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully hear our prayers. Be gracious to us in our weakness. Give us strength to keep your commandments in all we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to the Word of God for this second Sunday of Pentecost now. Our first lesson is from the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. We'll begin reading at verse 17. Let us learn from death. Our reading starts, sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. That woman said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took the boy from her arms. He carried him to the upper room where Elijah was staying, and he laid him on his bed. Then Elijah cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then Elijah stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave the child to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." This is God's word. And we have a reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7. We'll begin reading at verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As Jesus approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow. A large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw this widow, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then Jesus went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This is the gospel of our Lord. And let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We turn now then to our message for today. It's going to come from Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 1. But before I read our lesson, in my hand here as I'm recording this sermon, I have a thermometer and I have a cuff. What do you associate with those two items? Well, I would think you would be able to say, well, they sound a lot like things that measure our vital signs. And therefore, the question is, what do our vital signs show? The answer is they show that a person is alive. A thermometer takes our temperature. The cuff, well, it checks our blood pressure, the heart rate. These all are vital signs of life. Without them, what's left? The answer is nothing. Without these vital signs, you're dead. Today, as we continue our series of sermons from Paul's epistle written to the church in Galatia, our message centers around the theme vital signs. Not the vital signs of physical life, but the vital signs of spiritual life. And we see them in the Apostle Paul, and we see them also in ourselves. Let me read the word of Scripture. Paul writes, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. I went immediately into Arabia, and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria, Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. This is God's word. Paul begins with these opening words. I want you to know, brothers and sisters. Notice the fact that Paul calls the Galatians his brothers and sisters. They were faltering in their faith, but they still were brothers and sisters of faith. And then Paul goes on. He says, the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I received it from Jesus. Paul so wants his brothers and sisters in faith, knowing the truths of Jesus, that Paul opens up his past. his dark side. We read, Paul writes, You have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age. I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. I don't know if any of you would recognize the name Matthew, what is it, Ponselli? Ponselli was a convicted murderer who was sentenced to die for a horrible rape and murder in New Orleans. And while he was on death row, he was visited by a nun, and through her visits, a book, a play, and a movie were written. They were called Dead Man Walking. Dead Man Walking is a perfect description of the Apostle Paul while he lived as Saul. As Saul, he believed that he could save himself by obeying the Old Testament law. Paul was so fanatical about that law keeping that he hated anyone who believed the gospel, hated anyone who believed the good news of Jesus as Savior, and that hatred showed itself in his actions. He persecuted Christians. He was responsible for having them arrested, imprisoned, probably even killed. Physically, Paul was alive, but spiritually, he was a dead man walking. Paul was on death row, eternal damnation in hell. And Paul was not alone in such thinking. Luther, the great reformer, once lived the same way. He too was unaware of God's grace. Luther tried to save himself. And years later, he described it this way. He said it was all just a filthy puddle. Paul and Luther were zealous to save themselves. They were fanatics trying to keep the law. Today, well, I think it might just be reversed. People just don't care. Is that where we're headed? I think that's where we're at. The devil's deadliest deception today is not making people slaves to the law, but being very flippant about God's law. God is not an angry judge that we try to appease, but rather he's a laid-back grandpa who sees his grandkids misbehaving and he just shrugs his shoulders and says, kids will be kids. My friends, whether it's reaching up to try to attain God's level by fervently obeying the law, or by bringing God down to our level and just not caring, the result is the same. It's just a filthy puddle. There's no spiritual life. We're dead men walking. The gospel alone gives life. Paul goes on, When God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem. I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. The gospel is the revelation of what God did. In one word, God did everything. God set me apart from birth. God called me by his grace. God revealed his Son in me. First of all, set apart from birth. Before you were born, God set you apart from unbelief to belief. He knew in his infinite wisdom, in his almighty power, that the gospel would make you alive. Called by grace. Well, when you were born, your parents gave you your name. You didn't decide to be born, and you didn't pick your name. You didn't do anything. And when you were reborn at your baptism, you were also given a name. Christian, and you didn't decide to be born again. You didn't decide on that name. You didn't do anything. Not doing anything, yet receiving everything, is called grace. Undeserved love of God. And finally, revealed his Son in you. Why do you believe that Jesus lived the perfect life for you? Why do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you? Why do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead for you? Why do you believe that all your sins are forgiven? And why do you believe and have faith and peace with death and believe in eternal life? It's all because of faith. God revealed his son to you, and you believe by faith. You've all heard the saying, a cat has 9 lives. We know, of course, that's not true. Cats only have 1 life. Only human beings have, or are meant to have, more than 1 life. A physical life and a spiritual life. God gives us both. He gives us a physical life, and through the gospel, he gives us a spiritual life. And then God also, through the gospel, empowers that spiritual life. Listen as I read. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that I'm writing you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. What were Paul's vital signs? His writing, his preaching, his teaching, his living, and his sharing. And what empowered that spiritual life? It was the gospel. How does God come to us? How does God give us life, spiritual life? How does God empower that life, that spiritual life within us? It's all through the means of grace. The word of, in the word, God, the gospel and the word and the sacraments. It was a beautiful result of Paul's empowered life. The final verse of our lesson says, they praise God because of me. Isn't that beautiful? People praise God because of Paul. God was given glory because people realized that this remarkable change that had taken place in Paul's life didn't come from him, but from the power of God. I want to close by telling you a modern-day Apostle Paul. In 1942, Corporal Jacob DeShazer was a member of the combat plane that attacked the Japanese mainland. His plane was shot down, and for the next 3 years, he was a POW. He was beaten, tortured, starved. Jacob DeShazer hated his captors, and he wrote, "My hatred for the enemy nearly drove me crazy." He begged his captors for a Bible, and the Spirit used one sentence in that Bible to change his life. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they were doing." DeShazer came to realize that for people without Jesus in their hearts, it's natural to be cruel. DeShazer was liberated in August of 1945, but that's not the end of the story. He returned to Japan in 1948 as a missionary. But again, that's not the end of the story. DeShazer became a lifelong friend with a fellow Christian and missionary, Captain Fushida, who helped plan and lead the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. You would not believe that could really have happened if it really didn't happen. That's a portrait of God's grace. Is our story as dramatic as Paul's, or maybe Jacob DeShazer's? Maybe not. But then again, maybe it is. Their story is our story. It's a story of God's grace, a story of the gospel. The gospel empowers us to forgive and to live and to serve. Through your forgiving others and you living your Christian life and your serving, the Lord uses you to make a difference. And what was said of the Apostle Paul is also said of you. They praise God because of me. These instruments, the cuff, the thermometer, they measure the vital signs of our life. Without those instruments, you really can't see the signs of physical life, your blood pressure, your temperature, your heart rate. The vital signs of your spiritual life can also be seen. And people will praise God because of you. Amen. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And with believing hearts, then receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor, grant you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.